Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Time for Influence, the Women and Money edition. We are midway in a four-part series. Women, we're going to help you on your personal finance journey. Joining me is Sejal Patel, founder and CEO of Sejal, and she's going to share with us top tips to get you going. If the idea of investing seems intimidating, well, we've crafted this series just for you, and Sejal has spoken to many women across various income levels and stages of life about getting going in stocks. And what she often hears is that women find the process of investing daunting, too risky. Many end up avoiding investing completely. Sejal, last Friday, we discussed how women who are interested in investing can get started with just $5,000. We talked a little bit about the risk profile that one is willing to accept and also the horizon in which they were expecting returns from their investment. Moving quickly to today's episode, we're planning to help listeners understand which investments they should be focusing on. So I wonder if we could start by comparing the investment behaviors between men and women and how investing habits differ.
Sure, Michelle. Great to be back. Well, you know, like you said, a lot of women tend to be more risk averse, meaning that they're not willing to take a lot of risk in the markets. And that's not always women in general. I mean, a lot of men do it. You know, we tend to typically think that leaving our money in the bank account is a better option. But what I always tell women is that, you know, in general, we are having a harder time building wealth than men, right? And a lot of it is because of the wage gap. We take career breaks. We tend to live longer than men. So I always tell women, we just have to be a lot more smarter with our money, which means we have to think about investing and building wealth. And it's not just through working. It's actually using our money to make money. And the best way to do that is really investing.
Absolutely. I wonder if you could help out our listeners who weren't tuning in last week. We talked a little about what you need to do before you put that $5,000 into the market. I heard a really interesting quote from a Harvard professor of finance on investing. And he said, look, when it comes to investing, there is actual investing where you know what you're doing. And then if you don't know what you're doing, you just want to buy stocks based on what your friend has told you or what you've heard somewhere, then set aside fun money for that. That's fun money that you don't mind losing, you know?
Yeah.
It's money you have fun with. So what important questions do you think women should consider before they put money in the market?
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about, you know, what your risk tolerance is and how much you can actually stomach the volatility when you're actually going to need the money, right? Because stocks in general are more riskier than, say, bonds. And stocks over the long term are going to trend upwards, even though you see the bumps along the way. But as you mentioned, I know so many people who take advice from friends. And I said, would you actually trust them as your trusted advisor? Chances are not, right? So I always tell women, I said, when you want to buy, for example, stocks, one of the greatest things that you can do, golden rule, is always buy what you understand. Mm. You know, don't buy what you don't understand. So you should have a pretty good idea on how the company makes money and what's actually going to affect its profits. Take a look at the chart to see how volatile it is. And within stocks in particular, Michelle, there's a lot of different types of stocks. Some are more riskier than others, right? You know, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. If we look at even by size, large cap stocks or capitalization stocks, they're often referred to as blue chip stocks. Mm-hmm. So they're typically stocks of large, well-established companies. They tend to be less volatile because they are more established. They usually pay dividends. You're getting a regular income stream. So, for example, in Singapore, many of the banks would fall under that category. You know, DBS, OCBC, Singtel would fall under that category. Small caps, on the other hand, are stocks of small companies, and they're still in the early stages of growth. So they have yet to have a proven track record. They're going to be more riskier, which means they might produce greater returns, but they also might produce greater losses. And they're usually investing money back into the business, so it's very unlikely that you're actually going to get a dividend or an income stream. But that's just one example.
Fantastic. So think of stocks in terms of your risk tolerance before you get going. Thanks for the distinguishing between large caps and small caps. Are there things we need to think about, cyclical moves and defensive moves when it comes to the market?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's another way that stocks are categorized, right, Michelle? Like, some are based on how sensitive they are to the economy. You mentioned cyclical stocks. Well, cyclical stocks tend to be more sensitive to the ups and downs of the economy. And typically, that's consumer spending. Think about tourism stocks, for example, right? When there's a recession, people are traveling less. Retail stocks, when there's a recession, the first thing people cut out is shopping. Sometimes. But typically, that's what happens. Defensive stocks can actually weather the ups and downs. So when you actually think about utility companies, right? So in Singapore, you know, whether you're facing a recession or not, chances are you're going to have to turn on the air conditioner.
Because you're that's a good one.
Right? We all have to wash our hair. We all have to brush our teeth. So you actually think about the consumer staples that everyone buys, whether the market or the economy's up or down. Healthcare stocks are yet another example.
And what sort of investment opportunities are bonds?
Yeah, bonds are different, and it's actually funny that it doesn't seem as popular or sexy as stocks, but I actually really like them because I find bonds are a great way to provide an opportunity for women to grow wealth more safely. And they vary in time frame. They're generally less risky. So a bond is like a type of loan, but it's us as the investor. So we're actually the ones who are loaning a company or the government money because they have use for it, whether it's infrastructure or whatever else. And they're the ones who are going to promise to pay us back the funds in full at the end of the lending period, plus interest at some point in the future, right? So it's a little bit more safer if you hold it. And you can have 3-year bonds, you can have 5-year bonds, you can even go as far as 30-year bonds. If you hold it all the way to maturity, you're guaranteed your principal back as long as the company doesn't go under. And again, depends on the risk profile, but generally, if you're lending to a government, chances are it's not going to go under, and then they're going to give you some interest back. And depending on how risky the borrower is, they'll compensate you by paying you more or less in interest.
Yeah, I know lots of women who love bonds because they offer the possibility of regular passive income, predictability.
Exactly.
They're highly liquid as well. But there are many different types of bond funds: government bond funds, corporate bonds, municipal, international bonds, mixed bonds. Give us a sense of the options out there.
Yeah, I mean, those are really the bigger options. And I always say, whether you're looking at stocks or bonds, think about diversifying. Because that way you're not betting on one thing happening or you're not betting on one economy. So I always say diversify. You don't always have to buy one individual stock or one individual bond, which doesn't actually allow you to diversify, right? You can buy things like unit trusts that actually invest in lots of different types of bonds or stocks, and you're getting a piece of that. You can buy exchange-traded funds. You can buy geographically in different areas. You know, you don't just have to invest in Singapore. You can invest in North America or Europe, and that gives you an opportunity to really diversify.
Sejal Patel is my guest today in Money and Women, and today we're discussing what you should do if you have $5,000 to get started on your investment journey. Why, Sejal, do you say that chasing yield or high interest rates when it comes to bonds is not always a good thing?
There's times where we say, oh, well, this company is giving me 8% or 10% return, but the reason that might be is because if you're looking at bonds, for example, it might be a sign of the riskiness of the lender, right? And so you do have to watch that. Does that mean that they're compensating you because there's a risk of the company defaulting, for example, or the price of the actual bond fell, which means the yield has gone up? So you want to check for things like that. You want to look for signs of actual income stability and making sure that they're going to be able to make those payments, because that's really important. It's very easy to be fixated on a number and saying, this is what I'm getting. But you always think about, why is it that they're paying me this much when another company might be paying less?
Yeah.
Right? And a good benchmark is often the government. I mean, the government is going to be less risky because they're not going to default. So they're going to pay you an X amount, and it's usually on the lower end. So anything above that, you just want to think about what that range is and why it's so much higher than that. Than that benchmark.
Interesting. Yeah, that fixation on yield has led many a person to REITs because we love our dividends here in Singapore. Tell us how REITs fit into the picture that we're talking about.
Yeah, people love REITs. I'm actually one of them, and I have exposure to it as well in my overall portfolio. And that's because, you know, you get to play in the property market, whether that's the residential market or commercial or retail, whatever it may be, without spending a fortune in buying a piece of property, right? I mean, it costs so much to buy an individual piece of property. And plus, it provides a steady income stream. So similar to stocks that actually pay dividends. The difference, though, is that REIT investors, they make money or they receive income from the revenue that the properties in that REIT produces, and that's usually from rent. And the other thing is REITs by law are actually required to redistribute something like 90% of their taxable income. And that's not always the case with, say, stocks, right? So you're going to get a steady income, and typically you're going to get a higher income than a lot of the stocks pay.
I wanted to ask you about something I'm seeing pop up quite a bit. I look up our starter guide to investing and start planning for these shows. And that is savings-linked investment schemes, which sound like a great idea. How do they work? Are you locked in? What are the pros and cons?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends because it's such a broad terminology, savings-linked investment scheme. So there are saving plans, and it's different than savings from in your bank. Savings plans, there are ones that you're actually going to be locked in for a certain amount of time. And because you're locked in, chances are you're going to be earning a higher interest rate than just your typical, what you would earn in your typical, say, savings account. So that's one. If it is actually a savings linked to like an insurance scheme, that's slightly different. A lot of people I know in Asia use insurance products as a savings vehicle. That's quite different than what we do in North America. And what that is you have a savings portion, and then there's a portion that's actually linked to the investment, like the equity market or a certain type of market. So again, you're getting portion of that where you're actually exposed to either stocks or whatever that may be, a certain market. So you just have to be aware of that. That's going to be a little bit more riskier often.
That's terrific. Okay, we're fresh out of time. I wish we had more time, Sejal, but we'll speak with you next Friday. Thank you so much for helping us out with our starter guide to investing. Sejal Patel is founder and CEO of Sejal, and she is discussing how we can make the most of our money. Thanks, Sejal.
Thanks, Michelle.
She'll be back next week.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.